Blog Talk Radio.
Like never before, we're waging war.
Anoint my head,
oh yeah.
Anoint my feet.
Celebrate
the angels reigning now. Here on the battleground,
for your glory,
for your glory.
We're taking
territory, fighting unseen enemies.
Like never before,
we're waging war.
I'm tired of principalities messing with me.
Waging war.
Tired of the devil stealing from me.
How are you today? How are you doing tonight? I hope you guys have had an amazing, amazing week so far. I hope you guys are being blessed and safe. I am so glad that you guys decided to tune in. we have an amazing show tonight. We had an amazing show Sunday. I hope you guys are remembering to tune in Sunday. And from the looks of the results were amazing. We've had so far 450 people to visit the site so far. So you guys keep on liking and sharing. You guys keep sharing. I'm so excited about the Sunday. It's only for an hour, and it starts at 7, and it goes from 7 to 8 on Sundays. And it's called A Mother's Love, and we are sticking with that program. And that's more or less the healing for the Black family, the Black women in particular. We're going to touch a lot of women issues, a lot of women issues. Tonight we're going to, the topic for tonight, we're going to touch on a very sensitive issue tonight. It's going to be a kind of like two parts. We're going to talk a little bit about this Billy Porter in Sesame Street, and we're going to also talk about the topic for tonight is going to be, have you taught your child how to recognize their open enemy? Okay, let me do that again. Is have you taught your child how to recognize their open enemy? And who is our open enemy? If everybody is alive and well, and everybody is cohesive, and everybody's been paying attention, who do we call our open enemy? Have you been teaching your child who their open enemy is, for one? And no, it's not about a black or white thing. It's about us teaching our children what to say. If some child walks up to your child and tell them to kill themselves, what is your child to say to that? Now, I'm sure I wouldn't have thought it was happening. But we're going to talk about this little 9-year-old little girl, and she committed suicide because somebody told her to, and they had been bullying her. And that's really what it's all about tonight. It's going to really talk about the suicidal tendency, this little suicide thing that's going on in the black community. We're not being aware of this mental illness. This is a mental illness among us, okay? And we have to be very concerned about this. For one, we're not teaching our children to recognize it. We're not teaching them what to say when somebody tells them that. We're not teaching them what to do about being bullied. We're not teaching them how to handle being bullied. Let me give you the phone number. So if anybody wants to call in, feel free. My number, the phone number is 563-999-3682. Again, 563-999-3682. Okay? We're going to talk about these two issues tonight. We're going to talk about Mr. Billy Porter. Is that the norm for the black community? This is very worrisome, okay? If you're gay, and I have no issues with you being gay, but do it in your own home, okay? Do it in your own bedroom. Nobody needs to know that that's the issue, and you cannot come up and say, hey, we've had it just as bad as black folks. That's a lie right there. Okay, the devil don't care who tell a lie, and that right there is a bald-faced lie. Gay folks have not had it as bad as black folks. You never will have it as bad as black folks, because if you don't open your mouth and you don't walk like you gay, nobody will ever know that you're gay. But for me to walk in a room of people that don't like black folks, I cannot change my blackness. I cannot change who I am, even though Oprah and Gayle wants to, they try to, because they so hard on our black men right now. I don't know what in the world going on with them two women. I mean, I don't know what, I don't even know what to say. And for black people to still be supporting them, you should be shaming yourself to be supporting those two women that are going hard on Kobe. I mean, she went hard. Gayle did an interview on Kobe, and it was disgusting. I mean, you still try. I could see white folk doing this, but for you to do this to your own, I have an issue with that. I'm serious. I have a problem with black folk being so hard on other black folk. And white folk have set it up like that, and they take the smartest of the black folk. They take the smartest of black folk, and they tend to they take the smartest and separate them and train them up how to be like them and hire them to do their agendas for them, their bidding, like the Boulay, hire them to do their bidding, and then the black community goes against them, and it's almost like we're against each other. And the white folks sitting back because they're doing their agenda for them, because they hired them to do their agenda, and they're glad to do their agenda because they've been paid to do their agenda. And now the black folk don't want to be bothered with them. White folk don't like them. Black folk don't like them, and they're out in the open, you know, but they're getting paid to do the white folks' bidding. That's called the bootleg, and that's what Oprah and Gayle have become. They are doing white folks' bidding. Never once has she talked about Harvey Weinstein, his case. Never once has Gayle talked about her friend Charlie Rose, never once have they talked about Kevin Spacey, you know, and Les Moonves. I mean, these are, and Rob Lowe, Woody Allen, you know, the list goes on and on of the white predators that are alive that they can talk about. We're not talking about dead. You're talking about dead, like she went and talked about Michael Jackson, who had died. Then she talked about now Kobe Bryant. But my thing is, you're talking about, let's talk about some live ones. Let's talk about some live white perverts that are doing this daily and have been brought up on charges, and a couple of people that Kevin Spacey had brought up charges against him, they end up dead, okay? So let's talk about that. Let's really talk about Harvey Weinstein and how he's in court, and the man had a wheelchair, walking behind a wheelchair. Are you serious? I'm just so outdone with them. I'm done with them. I cannot believe that they would actually go off on a tangent, and she had that young lady, Lisa Gayle, dead, or Herschel, And she was asking Lisa some questions and trying to put her in a trap, and then we'll come on the show later and talk about try to apologize, talking about she didn't know that they were going to show that part of the interview. And but my thing is, you should have never did it in the first place. She said there was a lot more to the interview than that, but that was the only part that CBS or NBC or wherever she worked showed, which was sad because that's what they thought of you. They did that on purpose, and they knew what they was doing. But you have to understand that there is agenda against our men, and I'm going to go into a deeper thing about this. And if you guys know that homosexual agenda, it's talking about targeting our men, putting it everywhere, putting it in commercials, putting it on TV, putting it on magazines, putting it in TV, putting it on our children. They are after our babies. And I'm telling you, parents, if you allow your children to continue watching Sesame Street, you are crazy. You better wake up. I don't care what the white parents do. I'm talking about my black community because they are really trying to impact our community. When I first saw the little black boy in a tutu, he had a tutu on. And the tutu, you know, the white little boy didn't have a tutu on, but the little black boy had a tutu on. And then I saw the Chavez, the lady in so from South Africa, who allowed her son, who dresses her son, he's six. She's been dressing him in girl clothes since he was three, kind of because he wanted to be a little girl. But my thing is, what happened to your parenting? You're allowing a three-year-old to tell you that I want to be a girl, but no. Did you ever correct that behavior and say, no, baby, this is what little boys wear, and you're a little boy, so we're going to dress you this way. You have to be the parent. She's allowing him to parent her. And I'm telling you what, he is going to hate her when he gets to be an adult. There is another young lady. We're going to do the show on this young lady who has, she did a transgender. She was in the process of changing her sex and everything. And she is on YouTube, and she talks about the mistake that she made. She said, I'm a girl. She said she was just so upset because she did all of this when she was in her confused state, her teenage years, and she was very upset that she did it to herself. And she was upset, and now she's saying, now that I'm a girl, and I know I'm a girl, I don't want to be a boy. I want to be a girl. I am a woman. She said now that she wants to switch it all over, she don't know how. She doesn't know how to do it or she can. But it's just so sad because who talked to these who are these people able to reach out to and discuss some of this stuff and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? I mean, where are my transgender who have made a mistake and now are living normal lives who can reach out to this young woman and tell her, hey, this is how we can do it, or no, you don't have to go through with this, or this is what I went through, this is what I did in order to change it. Where are those people at, and where is this little feminized group at, these feminuts that I call? I had, you know, these black feminuts. You stupid, makes me sick to see them when they sit up there talking about you don't need a man, but Becky got your man. You don't have a man. They're talking about you don't need a man, but Becky not saying that. Becky put that out there. And most of them feminists are lesbians anyway, and you got black women talking about, I don't need a man. You don't even have the same, you're not even in the same march as those lesbians, because some, most of y'all want men. The black women who call themselves being feminists, they want a man, and you hooking up with lesbians talking about, I don't need a man, but you want a man, but you ain't going to get one acting crazy. You got your signals being crossed. I hate to see a woman, a black woman, that say, I don't need a man, but you got a baby by this dude, and you don't want him involved in the baby's life. Oh, my Lord, I don't know what's going on here. Whoa, something is happening here. Don't know what I did here. I don't understand. Okay, you guys, if this episode ends, I don't know how. I must have put something in wrong. I do apologize, you guys. I'm going to try to come back on. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to switch it over. I think I must have did something. I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how I must have switched it over. I don't know how what I did, but I'm going to try to come back. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this or not. I don't know what I did, I am so upset. I don't know what I did, you guys, but I'm going to try to come back on. Lordy, I don't know how to fix this problem, I do apologize. Oh, man, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what happened. But we're going to come back on, and hopefully I'll be able to fix it tonight. If not, we're going to continue this next week. I do apologize. I don't know what happened. I think I must have, I don't know how it got set up like this. Oh, Lord. I'm sorry about this, you guys. I'm going to
continue talking, and hopefully it won't click me off, but if it does, I'll be back. I'm going to just go in here and try to fix it. I don't know what happened. I do. I feel terrible about this, you guys. I don't know what happened. Did I do something or something I did? Oh, Lordy. You guys, hold on. Give me a few minutes to see if I can fix this. Oh, man. I don't know how I did this. Episode. I'm trying to fix it, you guys. I don't know how or what happened. But I want to try to get in there and see if I can fix this. I don't know if I can or not. Well, I'm going to keep on talking. Hopefully it won't take me off. I do apologize. I don't know what happened. I'm going to go back to the studio and see if I'm still on. I don't know if I'm still on or not. Can you guys, somebody call me and let me know if they can still hear me? If you can still hear me, give me a call at the studio and let me know if you can still hear me. Okay, am I still on? 111. I'm going to, let me see if I'm still on. Can you still hear
yes,
me?
Am
I still on the air?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you.
Oh, okay, because I don't know what happened. I'm not recording. I don't know what happened, but I was just trying to see if I was still on or not. I do apologize. I don't know what happened, but if you could go ahead and still listen. I don't know
yes,
if it's
ma'am.
Gonna cut me off or what. But I'm gonna go ahead and
okay.
continue talking, okay? But I'm just putting
okay,
you on your
good.
Phone so you can speak right now. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think I put you right where you need to be. Can you hear me? Okay. I think you can still hear me. Okay, we are just gonna continue on. I don't know what happened, but we're not gonna end the session. But let's talk about this Billy Porter. I am just so upset and I'm very disgusted because of the simple fact Billy Porter is all like they're trying to indoctrinate our babies. They have no right to do that. I hope and pray that parents are going to boycott. I hope and pray that they're going to boycott Sesame Street. I hope and pray that they're not going to continue allowing their children to be indoctrinated, because it's so sad right now, because right now I see where they're really trying to impact the black community. And I hope and pray that they're not going to allow that to happen, okay? I'm really hoping and praying that Billy Porter is going to wake up, or some of his gay buddies will come to him and say, hey, dude, you can't do that. This is not right. Leave the babies out. I'm hoping and praying that somebody somewhere have some sense. Right now, it's just so sad because of the simple fact you can't do this. You can't, these are babies, okay? And the agenda right now is to where they're trying to get our babies, okay? They're trying to force some things on us, and it's not right, and it's not going to be tolerated. And until we as black parents stand up and say, hey, no, this is unacceptable, we're not going to allow you to do it. And I hope and pray that we can, we stand up for once in our life. We need to stand up against this, because this is something that's not right. And if you don't say something, nothing will change. You can't just allow this to happen and not say anything. You know, I think once Sesame Street sees how upset we are about it, then something will be done. But if you don't say anything, then guess what? How are they going to know if you're upset about it or not? How are they going to know that you're not happy? How are they going to know if you don't say anything? We have to say something. You cannot continue allowing this to go on and not say anything. This is not going to work. And I hope and pray that we as a black family, as a unit, get on code and really fuck about this. I mean, I went on Twitter, and I had something to say. I said, as far as myself, I said, this is unacceptable. We are not going to accept this. We as a black culture, we are not going to allow this treasonous behavior, because I do feel that this is treasonous behavior. And until you say something or until you make a fuss about it, nothing is going to get done about it. And there is no way that we should be allowing this at all. And if we allow it, then that's going to be on us, because there is no way that we should be allowing this at all. I'm just so upset because we are not moving and we're not saying anything and we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I don't understand what it is that we need to do in order to fix the problem. We have to say something. We have to stand up for this. We can't just allow what we're seeing, because this is the gay agenda. And if we don't say anything, then nothing's going to change. Okay? I think it's up to us to make it known that, no, this is not something that's going to, this is not going to flow. We're not going to allow it to happen. We're not going to allow this to go down like this. And I think until we get to the place where we are speaking our minds and saying what we need to say, that's the issue. We're not speaking up. We're not saying what we need to say. So I really believe that we need to man up. We need to, say loud, that no, we're not going to allow you to indoctrinate our babies. And if he decides to go on Sesame Street, then that's up to him. He typed out on Twitter that if we didn't like what he was doing, then don't watch. Then guess what? We're not going to watch. I don't plan on watching, and nobody that I know will watch. And I hope and pray that you won't allow, you don't watch it either. It's just so upsetting at how we are not, really standing and saying anything. We're just allowing things to go, and we're so complacent, and we're so laid back, and we're so comfortable about this. But this is not something that we need to be comfortable with. We need to continue to voice and have something to say and continue and speak up, because we can't just, allow this to continue. Our baby's future is at stake here. You have babies. I did a show on the other day, and it was on the babies, how they were going into the library, and these transgender men, with beards, we talk about full beards, and we talk about they had wigs on, full beards, and they look like men, and they were reading to our babies, and one was at the point where he was twerking, and he was just acting a fool, and I was like, what in the world is going on here? Something's not right. And it just upset me so, because I'm like, why are parents not saying something? Why are parents allowing this? And for two, why would you not say something? Or why would you even take your babies, and why would you not speak up? It's almost like whatever they do or whatever dysfunction is going on, we're okay with it, and we just don't say anything about it. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. We can't be so apt not to say anything as far as what's going on when we see dysfunction or when we see stuff that's not right. We have to say something. And that's not what we're doing. We're seeing stuff, and we're not saying anything, which is crazy. I've never seen anything like this. You have to speak up, because if you don't speak up, then guess what? Anything will happen. That means that you'll continue allowing dysfunction. And we have to speak up against dysfunction. My thing is, when I saw it, and he was in a dress, and he had it, full-blown. This one, the last time he did the Emmys, he had on like a woman's hat, and the outfit was bad, but I'm like, it's not for you, bro. If a war broke out, how in the world is gay men or transgender men going to fight a war? And this is what white men, white folk are trying to do. They're trying to genocide the black culture, the black community, because guess what? Either they're making us gay or men gay, or they're putting them with Becky. Come on. That's unacceptable. That's way unacceptable. And I am so tired of us not saying something and speaking out, that it's we're not saying anything. We're just allowing stuff to happen. No, that's not good enough. We have to say something. We have to be like, no, this is unacceptable, and we're not going to stand for it. And we have to be mad and bold and bold about this thing. And if you're going to allow it, then guess what? Then society wins. Dysfunction wins. No, it is unacceptable. When I hear somebody talking about the toxic masculinity, I have something to say about that. I want my man to act like a man. I don't want my man to have on false lashes, a wig, poopies, boobies, you know, breasts, and a big boob. I don't want my man to look like that. If I want a woman, I go with a woman. I don't want a man that's going to look like a woman. Real women don't want men that's all feminine and you know, got their nails done and, you know, they looking, you know, every mirror they pass by, they looking at the mirror trying to see how good they look. No, I don't want a man looking like that. I don't want my man to look like a woman, to act like a woman. I want to be able to know that if I need my man to protect me, he got me. That's what I need. I don't need no fake nails, no hair down your booty. No, that's crazy. And we as black women, we should get very upset at this, because it's almost like this man is trying to take our place with our men. And I'm like, no, we got enough to continue with. We got to fight with Becky for our men. Now we got to fight with other men for our men. Come on. What is going on here in this society? It's so sickening. I just understand it. I don't even know what to say because it's sad. And it makes me sick to my stomach. I don't know about you guys, but it makes me sick to my stomach. I don't know what you guys, I don't know how, I don't understand it. It just makes me sad, and it makes me sick, and it's not good. I just want us to get to the point where we are standing up and having something to say about this dysfunction, because this is exactly what it is. It's dysfunction, and it's not going to fly. And we have to voice our opinion. We have to. It's mandatory. Enough is enough, because sometimes you can let the devil get too far, and then, you know, you can tell a lie for so long it becomes the truth. We cannot allow our men to look like this and it becomes their truth. This is not their truth. Our men being men, our men being warriors, our men being, you know, there to protect us women, that's our truth. Our truth is not our men looking like women. That's not our truth, and anybody that says it is, then we have to call them out and be like, no, that's a lie. Our men, this dysfunction is not our men. I mean, I don't care what society says. I don't care what TV, the media, and that's the biggest problem for black folk, the media. They want to make our men look as gay as they can, but then they want their men, who are the real perverts, they want to switch it around and put the headlight on us, but then they men over here, Harvey Weinstein, Charlie Rose, Kevin Spacey, Chavez, Les Chavez, all these Woody Allen, Rob Lowe, all of them. Let's talk to the real perverts. Let's talk to the men that have active cases against them. Let's talk to the men that are alive and well and walking this thing out or being perverted. Let's talk to them, Gail. Let's talk to them, Oprah. Let's do a documentary on them instead of you having a documentary on our men. No, that's unacceptable. So I want to see some, let's talk to these are alive fellas, okay, that's actively molesting, actively raping, actively have cases against them. Let's go and let's talk to them. Let's see what you're going to say about them. Okay, let's see this. Let's walk this thing out. I don't understand why we are not having something to say and why we are allowing this to happen. You know, I don't understand why we're not speaking out against this. If we're speaking out, we're not speaking out loud enough to where society is saying, hold on, let's put the brakes on this, because black folk just ain't accepting this. Every chance I get, I put in the black agenda. I put in the gay agenda. I put in what the real agenda is. I mean, I have something to say. Every time I see something that has to do with feminizing our men, I say something, because that's not acceptable. Our men, this is not our men. And any man, any gay man or transgender that's saying that it is, no, that's treasonous behavior. And they need to be dealt with. Billy Porter needs to be dealt with. He needs to be dealt with, because this is dysfunctional behavior, and we are not allowing this. We are not. If you want to look like a fool, then you look like a fool, but that's not how our men should be portrayed. Now, if you want to portray a white man like that, you go right ahead. But when our men we, our men don't look like women, not real black men. Now, you may have some out there that want to act or do, look, we are casting them, those are outcasts to the black community. Those are not real men to us, and that's not a representation of our black kings, period. And I feel I'm offended because you want to put our men, you want to weaken our men, you want to feminize our men, you want to genocide the black culture because they don't want our they don't want us to procreate. And Yah told us to create. He told us to procreate, but they're trying to stop us from procreating by either getting our men with Becky's or making our men gay. No, this is unacceptable behavior, and it's treasonous behavior for Billy Porter to say that it's okay and to actually step out trying to indoctrinate our baby. This is unacceptable, and it will not be, it's not going to be stood for. We're not standing for it. And I'm very upset because he thinks he can. No, you're not. We are not going to allow this to go on. We are not going to allow him to make us look dysfunctional. And I'm very upset because he's trying. I'm very upset about this. I'm infuriated. Every time I look at him, it's so disgusting to me that he's out there parading, you know, this dysfunction around, and these white folk are behind it, and they are so excited about it, and it makes no sense because it's like, are you serious? No, we are not allowing you to do this to our men. We are not going to allow dysfunction. And I think we need to say something. And if we don't say something, we're in trouble. We can, you know, we have our own, you know, we're going to have to pay this price. And I think we as the black culture should be stepping up to even Sesame Street and being like, no, I mean, get on Twitter and have something to say. Get on Twitter and talk about this dysfunction with these black men and how you are allowing to try to make our men, men look, but feminize our men. No, that's unfair. And I think it's very unfair how they're trying to treat our men and trying to say that, you know, this is what's in the black community. Either they try to make us look gay or they try to make us look like we criminals or they try to, you know, any dysfunction that they can. They already mess up our music and give us this jacked up music that's always talking about robbing and killing and stealing and getting high and being hoes and all this stuff. This is everything negative. You have to understand who's doing this. You have to understand the Zionists is doing this. These Jews are behind all of the music. They're behind everything that you see. These Jews are behind it. And until we understand what's really going on, this is the problem. This is the problem right here. Until we understand what's going on, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. I'm still trying to make sure that I'm being okay. I'm just trying to make sure that everything is still good because my thing, I don't know what happened to it, but I just want us to remain faithful to the cause, and I want us to keep focused and be more aware of what you're seeing and have something to say. Get on Twitter and say what you need to say with Billy Porter and voice your concerns to Sesame Street as far as, you know, this agenda, this gay agenda is going toward our men and our children. I mean, it's up to parents now. If you're going to let them indoctrinate your children, that's on you. But my thing is, we can have something to say, but what are we going to say? We don't want to say anything because, oh, I don't want to say nothing because it's going to be construed that I'm not doing this, that, and the other. No, it's going to be construed that you're a coward. It's going to be construed that you're weak, and it's going to be construed that you're not doing, you're not stepping up and standing up for your own. Okay, we're not cowards. We're not black folk. We are not cowards. We are not pushovers. We are not weak at all. Okay, we went through too much hell in this country, okay, and still going through hell in this country for us to be weak. Everything they've done to us has made us stronger, okay? So I think we need to get up off of our little whatever you call it and get, you know, to pushing back with this agenda. Because this agenda is a nasty agenda, and it's ridiculous, and it's terrible. And until we say something, nothing's going to change. We are waiting for people to come and save us when it's up to us to save ourselves. Nobody's coming to save you. We have to save ourselves. We have to do what we're supposed to do in order to get this ball rolling, because enough is enough. And if we don't say anything, Are we agreeing to it because we don't say anything? Because, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And we have to say something, because if we don't say something, they're going to take, you know, you know how some people, you get them an inch, they choke a yard, you give them a yard, they take the whole cake. No, no, we're not giving them any, we're not giving them no inches, no yards, no nothing. We give them nothing when it comes to this agenda. This agenda sucks. This agenda is going to hurt us. And now remember, Neely Fuller, he used to say, if you have an agenda, if it's going to hurt you, then you don't stand for that agenda. Okay? If that agenda is going to hurt you, you don't stand for that agenda. So I'm just, right now, I'm just like, I'm just upset about this, because I think we should do more, and I don't think we're doing enough. And I think we need to be doing something now. I am just really upset about this whole thing, as far as you know, this agenda. I mean, I don't think we are taking it serious. I don't think that we are doing what we need to do. I don't think that we're taking it serious enough. I want to go back live. I don't know if my station is being recorded. I'm gonna try to go off and come back on and see if I'm going to be able to do this or not, because something is wrong, and I don't think it's recording. So if it hangs up, I'm going to ask you guys to call right back, and call right back on the same number, 563-999-3682. I don't think it's recording now, but I don't think it's recording for me. But I want you guys to come back on, and so that we can go live. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it right now. Everything is so crazy on here. But I know I'm live, but I don't think it's recording, and I want this to be recorded. So let me go back off, and then I'm going to come back on and take it from there. I don't know if I should be doing it this way or not, because I don't think it's being recorded, because I think it only uploaded like 15 minutes of my broadcast, and I don't think it's being recorded, and I'm trying to do 2 hours, so I don't think it's going to do it. I do apologize for this. I don't even know how else to do this. I may have to just re-record this one later. I'm scared to push go live, and then I didn't have a, okay. I'm going to just keep talking. If it recorded good, if it didn't, we'll have to do it again, because I don't think it's recording at all. Maybe I'll get my brother Maurice to help me do it better. Maybe he can help me click it on, or maybe he'll show me how to do it. Because this one was really a good one, because we're going to also talk about the suicide, the 9-year-old that she was 9. And I'm going to allow you to hear what happened to this 9-year-old. And I hope you guys will be able to hear it. And this really upset me, but I'm going to play something for you guys. Just listen up, you guys. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it.
A 9-year-old girl in West Alabama took her own life, and her mother says she was the victim of racist bullying, Mola Lenghi reports.
9-year-old Mackenzie Adams was a fourth grader with a bright future.
That was my angel. You know, she was a straight-A student, very smart.
But her mother says Mackenzie struggled because she was bullied, first at a school in Linden where they lived, then at the school she transferred to, U.S. Jones Elementary in Demopolis. Her mother says she rode to school with a family friend who was white, and then a group of her classmates taunted her with racist comments.
Things you wouldn't think a 9-year-old should know. And before my baby to tell me some of the things that they, you know, said to her, I was just like, where are they learning this from?
Mackenzie's grandmother found her in their home last week. She had hanged herself.
Just seeing my baby laying there, not being able to say nothing to me.
The school school district is investigating.
We have provided grief counselors, crisis counselors at the schools, ministers, youth ministers have been in campus.
The Linden Police Department says officers spoke to 9 administrators and teachers at the school and all said they had no knowledge of McKenzie being bullied. Mola Lenghi.
Now, that right there, I do not believe that the teachers didn't know. I believe that she told the teachers and the teachers ignored it. Okay, I believe that she had something, she did say something to the teachers, and I believe that the teachers just ignored it, okay, because the teachers are trying to teach our children that just to take it and don't say anything. They're doing that now to us when they shoot our babies or kill them on the street, and they say, hey, you take it, it doesn't matter, not guilty. When we go and take the police officers to court, what do they tell us? They say, it's not, they're not guilty. They tell us, they'll do that and tell you, nope, we're not going to accept anything. We're not going to, we're not even going to arrest the officers. Now, they'll tell us this. So my thing is, what is going on with all of this? If she's telling, or just like with the police officers, when they do what they do to us, they tell us that it was justified, right? So the same way they told us that it was justified is the same way that that they're doing with our children. You know, I remember way back in the day when my daughter, she was an honor roll student, my baby, she was an honor roll student, and one little white boy, you know, we lived in this area that was kind of white, but I did it for safety reasons, you know, as far as the gated community, and was safety reason for me and my kids. The little boy was messing with her, and he'd be taunting her every day. And I mean every day this little boy would taunt her. And she just got tired one day. And one day he said something to her, and my baby, she was not a fighter. She was an honor roll student. She was not one of those like her mother, nothing like me. I'm just saying. She got tired of this little boy taunting her. And she kicked him off of his bike into a ditch. And when she got to school, I guess the bus, you know, whoever, you know, his mom called up there. But they knew how bad this little boy was. But, the principal called me, and I had to go up there, and he said, you know what? He said, I'm not even going to suspend your daughter. He said, because, and this was great because I thought she was going to be, like, kicked out of school or suspended. But he said, no, I know your daughter. I looked, checked her record. She doesn't have anything on her record. She's not a problem student. She's an honor roll student. She was in governor's school. And we knew this young boy, his name, you know, we knew him, we knew about him, we knew how he was a bully, and he was a bully. He would say all this crazy stuff, and my daughter would come home and talk to me about it, and I said, well, when you get tired, you handle your business. I said, if you are on your street, you can handle your business, and, you know, you don't have to fight him at school because he lived right up the street. You can handle your business, but I think she was just, you know, kind of afraid, but she got tired that one day, and I'm going to tell you what, that boy never, when I say never bothered my daughter again, ever bothered her again. She had no more problems from him. But I'm going to tell you what, and that right there to me is how we ought to handle our business. You don't have to handle it in school, but I would have made sure that little boy was taken care of or something, because I'm sure this girl told, but I'm going to tell you another incident where my oldest was, you know, she had gotten into it with a girl. And like I said, my kids were not fighters, but when they had to, they would. And her and this boy got into it. But my daughter had reported that this girl was bullying her, was kept, you know, messing with her. And I kept saying, make a paper trail, because I knew eventually she would get tired and have to fight. So I wanted to have this paper trail so in case I would have to go up to school, I could say, look, this is what happened. You guys, she was telling. She told on this day. She told on this day. She told on this day. And I called and talked to the teacher. I called and talked to the principal. I called and talked to the school board. I talked to everybody just so when she did fight this girl, it would be, you know, on record. And they ended up fighting, and they tried to suspend both of them. I said, I said, hold on. I said, why are you suspending my daughter? I said, she talked. She told. She did everything that the teachers tell. They said, tell. And mommy says tell, and then you lay them in the floor. That's what I say. You tell once, they don't do nothing, they ignore you, you handle your business. You are not going to sit up in that school and be taunted by somebody because you're scared to fight, because you're scared of getting 3 days. No, you don't have to sit up there and be bullied, and I believe that. And I do believe that this baby told somebody, because if you go home and you tell your mom, my thing is, I would have went up to school. If my daughter coming in telling me, mommy, I'm being taunted, you know, little boy is saying this, little boy is doing this, I, as a parent, would have said something. I, as a parent, would have went up to that school and checked that teacher, checked that principal, and I would have went to school board. I would have done all that I could. So if something happened, I would have had a paper trail. I always believe in paper trails because I'm going to keep myself out of trouble, but then I'm going to handle my business. But then I got a paper trail so that I know I'm covered. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? But you have to understand some of these teachers would tell our kids, you know, they wouldn't do anything. Our kids would tell, which is what our kids all the time. If they tell, but nothing happens because the teacher is looking at the student and they're writing, they're going to take the student, you know, side with the student. And then you want to say something when my daughter slapped the mess out of your child. Then you want to say something because she hitting back. No, they want to make our children afraid to tell. They want to make our children afraid to say something, just like with this little girl. She probably told her mom, and then the teacher called the mom because the little boy wrote her a note and told her to kill herself. Now, who said, what 9-year-old do you know tells another child to kill themselves? Who is that? Like, where is that language coming from, for one? What is he being taught in his home, for two? And who is he hearing say that? And why would you tell another child to go kill yourself? Who does that? Where does this hate come in at 9? I'm going to ask you again. Are we, okay, or have you taught your child how to recognize their open enemy? That little boy was an open enemy. That little boy was an open enemy. What should they have taught their child to say? What I would have taught my child is what I told you. If he lived close by or if he lived anywhere in the neighborhood, then I would have handled my business with him in the neighborhood. But I'm going to tell you what, he wouldn't have been sitting up there bullying my daughter. Didn't she have no brothers? Did she have no cousins? Did she have nobody that could have helped her out with this little boy? Because she probably was scared of him because he had bullied her. And bullies they don't stop, just like the police. They're not going to stop killing us unless we do something. Unless we stand up and say something, do something, they're not going to stop killing us unless we do something. And bullying and our children murdering themselves, killing themselves is on the rise. You have an 11-year-old little girl that killed herself. I'm looking at an 8-year-old little boy who killed himself. I'm looking at too many of these suicides, another 9-year-old. I'm looking at too many suicide attempts or suicides by children, and they've been bullied, a 9-year-old victim of worst and most tragic child abuse case. You got another mother of an 8-year-old suicide victim. I mean, this is crazy stuff, a 15-year-old. I mean, 11-year-old, 12-year-old. And all of these are kids that are being bullied. What in the world is going on at the schools where these teachers are not doing or saying something? This is why I totally believe in total separation. And I say this all the time. Get your children away from these devils. These are Satan's children. I don't care. I tell my husband all the time, I said, Satan, these white folk are his children. And their children is his children. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, they can't be trusted. They can't, and it bothers me when I hear a black person say, my best friend is white. It bothers me to no end because I know that you have compromised. You're not talking black. You're not acting black. You're not being black because I don't have any white friends. I'm just saying because I talk too black for one. I don't take no mess from them. I work around a lot of white folks, but they know how I feel. And when I say they know how I feel, if they say something out of order, I am checking them every chance I get. Do you hear me? They are so careful around me. I don't care. You can say what you want. You ain't going to sit up there and say anything to me. And I mean that. And I got one, honey. I got on her the other day because she was acting crazy, bipolar and everything else. And I told her, I said, are you on medication? She said, no. I said, then you need to be. I did. I told her that because every day she coming in, she fussing about something. Go sit down. Don't nobody want to hear. I don't want to go home and hear your family problems. I don't want to come to work and hear you complaining about everything. It's always something. And I got so tired of hearing it one day. I just looked at her and I said, are you on medication? No. Then you need to be. You need to go and talk to somebody because you have an issue, ma'am, and it needs to be handled, and it needs to be handled today. I said, we really don't want to come to work. We don't want to hear what's going on at home because you have some things that's going on, and it's something that's not right. And you need to take care of that. And I told her, I said, you need some medication. And she just got married. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you need some medication, too. If you could sit there and you living with this. And she said they've been together 8 years. I'm like, well, he crazy, too. If he is dating you and willing to marry you and you acting like this, then something's wrong with him. I'm serious.
And it just bothers me because something is not right here with this suicide stuff with our children. We are not teaching them how to recognize the enemy. I would have told her, I'm going to tell you my cousin, I had a cousin. I have so many stories with this because I'm trying to help you to understand what do we do when you have somebody that's trying to make you hurt yourself. No, I had a cousin. He was, you know, he was, we were like really little. And I remember, you know, different things would go on. You know, he was a boy. Different things would go on, and some of his friends would say, I dare you to do blah, blah, blah. And he would always do it. And I remember one time I looked at him, and I said, why do you do stuff that they dare you to do? I said, everything they're telling you to do is don't hurt you. Like one day they said, I dare you to put a firecracker in your mouth. And he put a firecracker in his mouth, and he blew his mouth up. I mean, literally. It was terrible. And I looked at him, I said, that is like the dumbest thing ever. And I used to always get on him because what he would do would make sense. And I would be like, why are you doing some of this stuff? Why? Everything that people tell you to do is hurting you. So why are you doing it? I just couldn't understand that. I still couldn't understand it today. Everything somebody tell you to do hurts you, is pain for you, and you do it? Why? Are you mental? You need a medic? You know, I used to think, what's going on with my cousin? Because everything he would do, it would end up like that, right? So, but my thing is, what I would have taught my daughter, I would have told them, if my kids, I said, if somebody dares you to do something, you need to know that if they're daring you to do it, it's going to hurt you. So they're daring you to hurt you. Are you serious? Put it back on them. Because when somebody would dare me when we were little, I would always say, I dare you to do it. I would never go and do it because you dare me to hurt me. Are you crazy? I love me, honey. And I would always say, I dare you to do it. You do it first. Or I would say something like that. So we have to start teaching and training our children. Just like if they don't know how to act, we have to teach them respect. If they have a classmate that does not want to be friends with them and just trying to treat them any kind of way, or they'll, you know, come up to them one day they're nice and the next day they're not, or have you met people that you got to look at them to see what kind of day they have before you say good morning? No. You don't need to be friends with people like that, I would tell my kids. You don't need to be friends with people like that. Because if you got to look at her and you got to determine, is she in a good mood today or is she in a bad mood? I don't have time for that, and you don't either. I do not talk to people at work that come to work and they fickle. I don't. Good morning. If I want to say good morning, I do. If I don't, I don't. Okay, it just depends. Because I'm not going to sit up there and look at you and see what kind of day you having before I say good morning. No. You speak first. You come through the door, you speak first. If they don't speak, I don't speak because I don't have time for craziness. I don't have time to beg nobody to be friends. I don't have time. I'm there to make money and keep it moving. But my thing is we have to get to the point where we are teaching our kids. Baby, if Katie comes to school and Katie is looking crazy or Katie is snapping on everybody or Katie is just looking all ugly and crazy today and looking all frowned up, leave Katie alone and go play with somebody else. Don't even talk to Katie. Get away from Katie. Get as far as you can away from Katie because Katie crazy that day and keep moving. Do not beg Katie. And I tell my kids and I talk to my granddaughter that too. Do not keep trying to force people to be your friend. If they be mean to you, leave them alone. You don't need to be friends with somebody that don't know how to treat you. If people show you one time that they creep, leave them alone. You don't need to be friends with creeps because if they show you a creep the one first time, they're going to be creeps the remainder of that relationship, and you don't need to be hanging around with creeps. And this is what I tell my granddaughter. If you meet kids and they don't know how to act, you don't need to be friends with them. Keep it moving. I tell her that. I promise you I do because I'm teaching her how to recognize her open enemy. And right now, I don't have no time with no nonsense with people. You know what I'm saying? We have to teach our children that this is also how an enemy looks, okay? You got to express this. You got to start training and teaching your children. Our children right now don't understand the fight. They don't understand the hardship. They don't understand the Martin Luther King dream was the worst nightmare for black folk because that thing brought us together up under enemies that don't like you, didn't like you, ain't never liked you. And you ought to know it because of the way they treat you. You don't understand that yet? I don't understand why we don't understand that. You don't understand that they really don't like you? Why don't you know that by now? We've been hanging around white folks darn near with all our lives, right? And every chance they get, they do something stupid. Every chance they get, they show you, I hate you. Every chance they get, they tell you, they call you niggas, they tell you they don't like you, and we still call them friends. And we got grown folk like that. And I look at them and say, I look at grown folk who say, oh, my best friend is white. And I look at them and say, you don't understand how to recognize your enemy. You want to be best friends with your enemy. And I think about Kizzy. I go back to Kizzy. Remember Kizzy and Kunz Kinte? and how when they was dragging Kizzy away, and the little white girl looked out, and this was supposed to be her best friend. I forgot the little girl's name, but she spit in the water at the end. I'll never forget that part because I love that part. But I know y'all. I'm talking about me now, but whatever. Anyway, so the little girl, she was calling the little girl, I don't know what she was calling the little girl, white girl. And the little white girl looked out the window, and Kizzy saw her look, and she shut the curtain on Kizzy. And that right there woke Kizzy up. That woke Kizzy up. But Kizzy thought this little girl had her back. She was getting ready, her daddy was getting ready to sell her off to another family. And that little girl did not come down to say that nigga for what. She did not come down to say, Daddy, don't sell Kizzy. Kizzy's my slave. She didn't want, not once did she come down begging for Kizzy, helping Kizzy out in no kind of way. So that right there, okay, that's what had to happen for Kizzy to wake up. But some of these grown folk who I look at on Facebook and they be talking about, they, you know, my best friend is Jane. And, you know, I be looking at them like, oh, they lost y'all dang on man. Ain't no white person your best friend. I promise you they not. Because when you start acting black, act black as me and say what I say. Say some of the stuff that come out of my mouth to them and see how long they like you. I had some white friends, but when I started talking black and started being real and started being me and started being black, they deleted me. Good. Because I sure wasn't going to stop saying what I had to say. And I sure wasn't going to watch my tongue. I was going to say what I need to say and keep on saying what I need to say. And if you liked it, good. If you did not, I didn't care. And I'm telling you. But my thing, we have to get to the place, man, where we just, you can't be friends with your open enemy. They never have liked us, and they never will. And I'm telling you, I can't, that dream, every time I hear that Martin Luther King, one day we're going to have little black girls and boys holding hands. What? No. We don't need to hold no hands with them. Because guess what? We trusted you, Martin. We trusted that what you had in store, what you were saying. We trusted what he said was good, and we thought that them devils was going to like us. We thought we, out of all these darn years, we still fighting for justice and equality. Are you serious? 50 years later, we still fighting for equality. Are you freaking kidding me? And we have not gotten it yet. What the hell is it going to take? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so mad at black folk right now. I'm just sick of us acting crazy. I'm so sick of us, I don't know what to do. I don't know. What is it going to take? What is it that we're going to have to do? What is it? What should we do? What do we need to do to get on code to understand that these devils, you marrying these devils, which you ain't got no business marrying these dysfunctional Beckys. And I hope black women, you telling your children about, your boys about these Beckys. I hope you telling them. You tell your son, don't you bring no Becky up in here. Don't you bring her up in here. Don't you bring one. Don't you not do not bring one up in here. Oh, Lord, I didn't want to. I was trying to play. I'm going to play this one. I got another one that I'm going to play, but I'm going to just say this one thing. You need to start teaching your boys about bringing Becky's home. I mean, start teaching your grandsons, and you tell them why. They're dangerous. How many of our men have been killed by them? Okay, I read the other day where it was one that she had six kids by this black guy. She was married to him. He was in the NFL. And she killed him, and she killed all five of those babies. I don't know what she did with the sixth one, okay? She killed five babies, okay, and herself. That's dysfunction. You have to understand, these white girls have been abused by their daddies. They just slept with their uncles, and they slept with their brothers. And you know that's what they do, every last one of them. I don't care what nobody say. They just slept with somebody in their family member. And you call them, you call us dysfunctional? No. Uh-uh, no. You need to look at them. You went from a 10, which is a black woman, to a 0. And you're going to call a white woman a 10 and a black woman a 0? You done lost your date on my ass. Bruh, you only dating her because you too weak to handle a black woman. You don't know how to handle a black woman. And let me help you. Let me help you. All we want is security. All we want is somebody we can trust. And that don't take much. All we want is for a man to be trustworthy. And then we can trust that they got our backs, and we can trust that they're going to keep us safe. That's all a black woman wants. If you can do them three things, you got any black woman on this earth that you want. You don't even have to be gorgeous. You can just treat us with, you can just love, just treat us good. We'll fall in love with the treatment. And that's what men don't understand. It doesn't necessarily have to be the finest man on the earth. Just be the best. Just treat us the best we've ever been treated. That's all black women want. And be trustworthy. Let us be able to trust you. Let what comes out of your mouth be the truth. Let us know. Help us to get to the place where we can trust you. That's all black women want. It's not asking for a whole lot. You looking to black women, men, kings, you want to accept anything from Becky. You get the fattest thing out there. You get the fattest white woman out there. And she trifling, got 5 bellies, 5 kids, and you'll treat her good. You'll be with her kids, and, you know, you'll be the whole man for her. But then a black woman, you won't date one that's fat and black, but you'll date a fat white woman in a minute. Please, somebody help me understand that. I just need somebody to call in. Let me give you the number so you can help me to understand. Why is it that our men will settle for a fat white Becky than have a fat black 10? You'll settle for a fat. I mean a Becky with 5 stomachs. And she got 5 little baby daddies and 5 just a country thing and back in the backwoods, but he just so happy, and he just so happy with his little Becky. Tell me, why is it, and why would you accept that instead of a queen? But then you want your queen to be a size 10 or 2. You want her to have a little weave on. You want her to look good. You want her to look like she's stepping out of a magazine every time, everywhere you go. But you're not expecting this from these Beckys. Please help me understand. I'm being so serious. I know y'all think I'm tripping. I'm going to give you the phone number. So if anybody want to call in and challenge me on this one, 563-999-3682. Help me out to understand, why in the world would you settle for that? I just need to know. I'm asking the question because I just seen some black men, honey. And I'm going to tell you what, you should see some of these Beckys I'm seeing. And I'll be looking at them like, what in the world? I know what she's doing, but still, black woman can do that. I'm just saying, I don't understand. When I see these black men with these real fat country back in the woods, Beckys, and they just as happy and they not embarrassed. I've seen this one movie, and it was a African. It was over in Africa, and I don't know if they were from Kenya or wherever they was from, but it was over there. And these white women was coming in, and they was like dating these, like they weren't dating them, but they was like, you know, having relations with these white, old white women. And I mean, these white women was, you know, offering them money, of course, and they was taking care of these Africans. And they would just come over there just to be having sex with them. And that's all they were. And they would take care of them. And they would, you know, it was just like that would be their little boo for that little weekend or whatever, that little week or whatever. And they would just like be like escorts. But I'm telling you what, some of these white women, honey, I wouldn't, I mean, if their husbands was old and they wanted me to do that, I would be like, the devil is a lie. I mean, I would throw up with him even trying to touch me. As old as some of these white women was, it was disgusting. And they were so excited. And I was like, oh, my God. What? It was a program, too. I cannot remember the name of that program, but it was a program. And one of the guys had fell in love with one of these Beckys, and she was, You remember what I just described, right? Okay, that's what she was. She was fat, and she was just disgusting. I'm telling you. And he had fell in love with her. I guess he fell in love with that money because it couldn't have been her. I'm just saying. But my thing is, why is it you expect more from us than you do from them, and you'll call us crazy, but they dysfunctional? I'm just saying. Because a whole lot of, I know white folk. I know, okay? And I know what goes on in their house, and it's nothing good. I mean, they have a lot of stuff going on with them. And for us, our men, to be that brainwashed and that that confused by Jezebel, and that's what I call them, Jezebel, because those are Jezebel's children. And if anybody read the Bible, you know what Jezebel, who Jezebel was. That was Ahab's wife, right? And you know what happened to Jezebel, but you know what kind of woman she was, okay? And there is a real spirit called a Jezebel, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but there is a spirit, and it is called Jezebel. And I'm telling you, that thing is terrible. And I really do believe that white women possess that Jezebel spirit. So when she contacts, or she makes contact, eye contact, body contact with the men, they just lose it. I believe that spirit takes over. It's a more of a spiritual thing than anything else, because some of these men just going way out. And I'm telling you, one basketball player, football player, I think he was, his wife or his girlfriend that he had proposed to, she had a page, and they said she used to be racist. And she actually was talking about getting one of them men and being a footballer's wife and everything. But her page had so much racist stuff on it. But this dude, he ended up asking this racist girl to marry him. And he was black. And she said yes, but she had planned it. And I guarantee you, she wasn't thinking about him. She was thinking about that money. But she going to be with that money. And, I mean, she looked just as country. And I'm telling you, he was just as happy. And I'm looking at him like, what in the world? You could have had any black woman out there, and this is what you choose? But you have to understand, I don't know what's going on with our black men with money. They'll tolerate us with no money, okay? We tolerate their little black broke behinds, okay? And as soon as they get some money, what did Tiger Woods do? He married a nanny. This was a nanny, you guys, a nanny. I've seen this guy, he was a football player, and he was married to a white woman, but he's begging us for a kidney, okay? Did anybody see that? He was begging black women, black folk, for a kidney. And I'm looking at him like, well, you married to a white woman. Get your kidney from her. Oh, you can't. I forgot. Oh, you're not compatible. She's Neanderthal, and we got the real blood. Okay, but you wanted to marry that. Okay, no. You went over and over there, and you went on and got you a white woman. So guess what? You better hope one of her family members can give you a kidney, because you don't want none of these black kidneys over here. Okay, you had so much to say about black women. Now you want our black kidney. No, we're going to keep our little black kidney. We're going to keep our little kidneys right to ourselves, and hopefully her family members can help you, the one that you really are into. Maybe she can help you with a kidney, because you can't have none of our black kidneys. You can't have these black kidneys over here. Okay, I'm just saying. Because it's time for us to get our heads on straight and to do the right thing. It is time for us to stop acting crazy and for our men to come on back home and do the right thing by us, okay? We will sit up there and be bothered with these men, okay, and when they broke, and we'll hang in there and stick in there, and then they'll turn around and get some money and go marry Becky. What? I don't understand that. Michael Jordan had him a black wife. He turned around, now he got a white one. What in the world? What? You would think that somebody would have some sense to say, dude, come on. These white women wouldn't, if y'all didn't have a darn dad, them white women wouldn't even want them black behind. Them white women wouldn't look twice at them. They only want that money. And these brothers, they ready. I mean, these brothers ready to get their millions up to them white women. I mean, and then what did one black dude, what did he say? He called them bulldogs, right? And I said, you know what? You're going to wish for one of these bulldogs. When that thing right there you got, you're going to wish you had one of the bulldogs, because you're going to need us. Trust me, that thing you got, trust me. Give her 2, 3, 4 years. Trust me, she's going to take every dime you got. You're going to wish you had one of these bulldogs. Mm-hmm. That's okay. We'll be bulldogs for now. But I kind of got off the subject, didn't I? But I really want you guys to start really concentrating on your children's behavior. I really want you to watch your children's reaction. I really want you guys to really start teaching them who they're. But you guys have to recognize the enemy. A lot of grown folk don't recognize the enemy, who the enemy is. And I'll talk to some people, and they say, oh, Kathy, you just as racist. Oh, honey, sweetheart, no. Stop calling black folk racist. They can't be racist. I told y'all this 50,000 times. Black folk cannot be racist, honey. We can be prejudiced, but we can't be racist, okay? I have nothing against white folk. I just love me some black folk. Where's my song? I'm black and I'm proud. Say it out. I love that song. And I think I'm going to play that song for y'all tonight, because I love me some black and proud. I do. But my thing is, we have to stop sitting up there trying to call people racist because we don't want to sit up there and go along with your program and be handpicked by somebody white. No. Ain't no white person going to be acting crazy and no, I'm going to be black. I'm going to be me. I'm going to love me. And every time we love us, and every time we say something about being black, then we racist. Tell me why is that? How are you going to teach your child how to recognize the enemy when your crazy behind don't recognize the enemy? That's the sad part about it. You don't even recognize the enemy, but you're going to sit up there and try to tell us about what? About how are you going to help your child be aware of the enemy when you're sitting up there and you being the enemy's best friend? I don't understand that. I don't. I think it's sad that we cannot sit up here and recognize who the real enemy is, and we'll sit up there and tell our child, you know, we'll sit up there and show our child, and then you got them best friend with their child, with your best friend who's white child. I don't understand that. How are y'all best friend? What do you guys talk about? Because you can't, and I'm going to tell you what, I guarantee you they compromise it. It's talking about black folk. I've seen this one girl. She was dating a white guy, okay? And she and him was dogging out black folk. And I'm looking at her, and I'm saying, girl, you are about the biggest dummy. He is disrespecting you, your culture, and your kings, and you are disrespecting yourself, and you're allowing him to disrespect you in front of you, and you talking about your own culture in front of him, with him. That don't make no sense. I bet you can't go and talk about the white girls with him because he's not going to have it. I guarantee you they don't have it. But you can, but you're going to come and talk about your own. Really, if you're not, if and my thing is, I told her. Now, if I did, I said something to her. I sure did. I don't think I did. And I typed her because she was on Facebook. She was on YouTube. And I went on in there and said, when I feel sorry for her. And I thought, I feel sorry for you. I said, you sitting up to allowing this man to disrespect you and your culture. I said, he's not only disrespecting your culture, he's disrespecting you as a woman. You as a black woman, he's disrespecting black folk. Shouldn't you feel offended? Because you're black, right? Or did you forget? Did you forget? You must have forgot. Let me tell you, let me remind you, sweetheart, you're black. So if he's talking about black folk, that means he's talking about you, dummy. Okay? So you have just allowed him to, you've showed him that it's okay to disrespect you. No, it's not ever okay. But I do want us to continue on with this. I have another 8-year-old who was bullied, who committed suicide. I want you to hear this one. Hold on, I'm going to hear that.
The coroner's office has reopened an investigation into the death of an 8-year-old boy who died from suicide earlier this year. Security footage from inside a bathroom at his Ohio elementary school, police say, shows Gabe Tay was bullied 2 days before he took his own life. The surveillance, according to investigators, revealed he was then left unconscious on the ground for 7.5 minutes. Parents are wondering how that even happened.
Where were they at for 7.5 minutes that was able to start, take place, finish?
The district says a nurse checked on Gabe, then told his mother. But she argues she had no idea Gabe was hurt until her son started vomiting and she took him to the hospital. The family's attorney.
She's devastated that her son's second to last day was so painful for him and that she didn't know and she couldn't protect him.
The school said in a statement, though the connection between this incident at school and Gabriel's suicide are not clear, the district shared this video with police investigators at the time of the incident. It's expected to release video of the assault in the next day. At this time, the students police say were involved have not yet been charged with the crime.
See, that's what I'm saying. You have these your children about these around these dysfunctional white students, okay? When are we going to get it? Now, this boy was at school. He got knocked out 2 days before he died, okay? He laying on the floor for 7 minutes. Where was the teacher? And I did see the video. On the video, it had a teacher come inside of the bathroom, see he's on the floor, and kind of, you know, but was there an investigation? Did the teacher say anything? No, the teacher was trying to cover it up, but this was on a camera. He had an iPad, and they buried the iPad with the little boy. So they assume the boy's body to get the iPad so that they can see what happened, you know, which was, I don't know, but that's what they did. They assumed the boy's body so that they can get the iPad from the little boy so they can see what happened. But my thing is, no, this is ridiculous. I'm serious. This is unacceptable. I don't care what nobody says. This is unacceptable. With our children, you know, all this suicide and all this crazy stuff, and nobody is saying anything.